Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word. The Old Testament reading for Sexagesima is from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my words be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. We now do the intro, which can be found in your bulletin. How lovely is your dwelling place! My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. They go from strength to strength. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Behold our shield, O God. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. O Lord of hosts, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 4. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. When a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded a hundredfold." As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So that, seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. That is perhaps not what we would expect Jesus to say. It's probably a little bit of a twist on what we would expect Jesus to say. We probably would expect Jesus to be very clear in his communication. And yet, as this passage shows, sometimes he is intentionally mysterious. Sometimes he is intentionally a little bit vague. Sometimes he even sort of seems to place obstacles between people in understanding what it is that he's actually trying to get across. So then, as we prepare ourselves for Lent, part of that preparation is trying to help us to get ready to hear the mystery yet again. There's a few parts to this mystery, a few parts of the hidden kingdom of God in some sense. And the first one is probably actually the hardest, I think. And that is the mystery of just how sinful we really are. And it's actually pretty clear why this is a mystery. It's because we just don't see clearly. We can't look at ourselves, or maybe even a better way to say this, we can't kind of get an outside perspective on ourselves. When we look at ourselves, we probably look and we're like, well, I'm not doing too horrible. I haven't murdered anybody recently. I haven't stole anything recently. I haven't committed adultery recently. I honor my parents pretty well. I don't get that jealous. I don't gossip all that much, right? It's pretty easy to kind of look at ourselves, and this is what we do. We give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. We shouldn't. We don't have any sort of benefit of the doubt. It is clear from Scripture, God is telling us that we are sinful. That we have failed. That as we're going down that list of the Ten Commandments that we just read, that we have failed every single one. And we probably did it a lot more recently than we think. But that's a mystery to us. We don't see it. It has to be something that comes from the outside. Somebody has to tell us. You have to teach your children that they need to control themselves, that their first impulse is oftentimes the wrong one. It's not something you just know naturally. It's a bit of a mystery. Thankfully, that's not the only mystery, because it's also a mystery just how far God was willing to go to save us from ourselves. Just how far God was willing to come down in order to bring us up to be with him. That the God who gave life to all things was willing to die for we who are sinners, for we who are failures, even though we don't know it sometimes. And part of this mystery was that Jesus seems to almost kind of hide this from people while he was walking around on earth. But I do also want to talk about this parable because this is one of the best parables that we get from Jesus. And That's largely because Jesus explains it for us. There are a few of these parables in the Bible where the disciples are so confused by them that they go up and they ask Jesus to explain it. And almost every time he does. And it's those parables that are very helpful for us, because we get the explanation. Here in this particular text, we see clearly just how recklessly generous God is with his word. So let's dive in, therefore, and hear this word that Jesus is speaking, to listen to this parable as we continue to prepare for Lent. The parable itself is pretty straightforward, right? It's actually one of his shorter ones, even. A sower goes out to sow his seed. Some of the seed falls along the path, and it's trampled, and it gets devoured by the birds of the air. Some of the seed falls on the rocks, and it withers as it grows because there's no moisture there. Some of it falls among the thorns and ends up getting choked by the thorns as it grows up. And lastly, finally, some of the seed falls into the good soil. It grows, and it yields fruit 100-fold. And then he finishes with, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Again, I think probably the most important thing to point out with this parable is how reckless the sower is with his seed. I mean, it's not like you can't tell where the path is. It's not like you can't tell where there's a whole bunch of rocks or where there's a big patch of thorns. And most people, when they're out sowing their seed, would just not put it there. They would focus on the good soil, where they know that if they throw their seed out there, that's where it would grow. That's where they've got the best chance of getting a return on their investment, if you want to kind of use financial terms. That's what a normal person would do. And remember, whenever we're listening to a parable and trying to figure out, what you want to try and look for is the thing that's not normal. It's not normal for a farmer to waste his seed like this. And yet, that's what Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like. The disciples are wonderfully helpful in this text because they don't have a clue. And we wouldn't have had a clue either unless Jesus told us. Like, I don't know that we would have been able to make a jump that, oh, the seed is the word of God. That would have been hard. But the disciples ask, and he explains. And he also, as he does this, explains a little bit about the parables, which I talked about earlier, that these parables were actually meant to hide some of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven from the Pharisees and the others, from the unbelievers, in a sense. But to the apostles, it was given to be known. And the reason for that is fairly simple. Because that way, once Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, the apostles would be able to go out and share what those secrets are. So he explains. The seed is the word of God. The path are the ones who have heard the word, but then the devil comes and he takes the word away so that they may not believe and be saved. And I know I've said this before, but I'll say it again because it bears repeating and remembering, that the devil usually does this, almost always does this, in the same exact way that he did it in the very beginning. He takes away the word of God from you by coming to you and asking you a question. He asks you, "Did God really say?" The devil takes away faith in the word by introducing doubt in the word. And that's exactly how he steals this from people. So that's the path, and then we've got the rocks. The rocks are those who receive the word with joy. They get excited, they're ready, they're energized, but then when things get tough, and they will, they wither away. They fall away in times of testing. And then you got the thorns. The thorns are the ones who hear, and it starts growing a little bit, but they end up getting choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. They get so distracted by what's going on here that they lose faith in what their Lord has done for them already, and they lose faith in what's going to happen to them. But then finally, we get to the good soil. The good ones hear, hold the word fast in an honest and open heart, and bear fruit with patience. And it's not just a little fruit either. It's, like I said, 100-fold. Now, oftentimes, you've probably heard this preached that you should try to make yourself like the good soil. That is to say that you should reject the devil and his silly question. That when those trials come along, you should be prepared for them. You should be ready. You should endure. You should stand steadfast and get through the other side. That when the cares of this life, when those pleasures and those riches start coming in and start trying to weasel their way into your faith, to wither it and to choke it out, you should reject them. And you should remind yourself of the truth that your Lord has done everything for you and has provided everything for you. That you should try to be the good soil. That you should try to hold the word fast in an honest heart and in an open heart, open to hearing the word of God, being receptive to the promises that he has made you, and that you should bear fruit with patience, recognizing that this takes time. You're not going to be some kind of superhero Christian right off the bat. For that matter, most of us probably aren't going to be a quote-unquote superhero Christian. I'm not sure such a thing even exists. That's often how this is preached. And there's something to that. Make no mistake, those things are true. We should reject the devil. We should stand firm in the trials and tests of our lives. We should cut ourselves off from the thorns of this world, and we should try to be honest and open and patient. But I think much more importantly here than just kind of guidelines to how we should try to live our lives as Christians is that we get a glimpse here into how God is working to save. We get a glimpse here into the mind and methods of God. Because here, we are able to recognize the wonderful truth that even if we did fall for the lie of the devil, that even if we do fall in those times of trials and temptations, even if we are getting choked out by the thorns of this life, that God will still give us his word. That God will still spread his seed among us. That God will not forget you. He will not abandon you. He will not give up on you while there is still a chance for you to be saved. And recognize the wonderful truth that the way that he saves people is through the word. It's really easy to forget that. It's really easy to forget that that silly little devotion that you read in the morning is how God saves you. It's easy to forget that coming to church, even on a rainy, overcast day like this, where there's mud everywhere, is how God delivers the forgiveness to you that you need. It's easy to forget that it is through the word that you are saved. And that he is not stingy with this. That he spreads it everywhere. He spreads it everywhere as much as he possibly can. He sows his seed in as many places with as many people as it is possible to do because he knows that that's what we need. Our Lord is recklessly generous with his word. He's not like us. You've probably heard and maybe even experienced about how, oh, as human beings, we need to kind of focus our time and our effort on the places where we're going to be able to have the best impact. That we need to focus on sowing only where the good soil is, because that's where we're going to see the greatest impact. That's where we're going to see the greatest growth. And make no mistake, that's probably true for most of our kind of earthly stuff. But God isn't like that. God isn't like us. God is infinitely powerful. He is able to be everywhere. He's able to know everything. He can spread his word to the entire world. He doesn't only do it once. It's not like this is a once and done kind of thing. You don't only get one chance. Your Lord is going to keep coming back to you. Keep sowing his seed among you. And then perhaps most flabbergasting of all, once that seed has grown, once it starts bearing fruit, he's going to send others out to do that as well. He's going to send you out to share that word as well. The word gives fruit to more word. It bears more preaching. When you hear the word, you are free to take what you have heard and share it with others. You are free to receive it and to bear fruit 100-fold. And you are free then to know that even when it doesn't look like it's working, even when it seems like you're only sharing the word with those who are on the path or those who are the thorns or those who are the rocky soil, you are free to know that one of these days it might land on good soil. That one of these days, God might use you to sow the seed of the word into a person that will save them. That God will actually use you to bring someone to eternity with him. You are free to trust this truth, free to have the mind of God in this and not the mind of a human. To not be stingy, to not be scarce, but to spread it as much as you can, knowing that you're not wasting your time, you're not wasting your efforts, that the Lord sees it, and that the Lord can use you to share his word. Even as he used somebody else to share his word with you, the very word that you trust, the very promises that he has fulfilled, that you are forgiven, that you are saved, that you are his. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.